last year, we spoke about a research project being conducted at the Border Policy Research Institute at Western Washington University. This project hoped to gather stories from folks who live near the border during the COVID-19 pandemic. And we're going to learn a little bit more about how that project's going. But there's another one on deck that's going to involve some cross-border cooperation, if you will. Andi Bissonnette is a postdoctoral fellow with the Border Policy Research Institute. She's based out of Montreal. And Andi, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So let's start with that first project that we spoke about a couple of months ago. What was the turnout like for all those stories that you gathered for folks who live near the border during the pandemic?
So the turnout was really good, more than what we were expecting. And we were fortunate enough to have turnout from different regions along the U.S.-Canada border. And we are currently working on going through those responses and putting up together a map, an interactive map that will be available on the Border Policy Research Institute website. So folks will be able to learn more about what other people in their region experienced during COVID, but also what happened in other regions of the U.S.-Canada border and how that may have been similar or different to their own experiences.
That's a good point, too. We're not just talking about folks in the general Whatcom County area. I mean, the U.S.-Canadian border is massive. It stretches to the other end of the continent, right? So you're probably, what was the most fascinating thing for you, or what was a surprising thing for you when you were looking at some of the stories from the border?
I think if we stick to the Whatcom County area, what was most surprising was that we heard a lot about people who were opposing the closure of the U.S.-Canada border to non-essential travels. But there were some folks that were actually welcoming that period of closure for different reasons, either because they felt it was more peaceful or it gave the environment a break. So those types of stories were less heard of before our research. And I think that was an interesting aspect. But also learning more about these areas of the border where we don't hear a lot about in terms of cross-border collaborations and were highlighted more specifically in those answers as well.
Fascinating. I wouldn't think that, I honestly didn't think that a lot of people would be particularly thrilled by any sort of border closure. But now I recall when moving here, the border was still closed. I moved here in late 2021 and the border was still closed at that time. And one of the things that somebody had told me at that time was wait till the border reopens. You might not be super excited to be around here and deal with all the traffic all the time. And I'm not sure, was that a sentiment that you found came more on the U.S. side or the Canadian side when it came to those comments about, oh, it's so much more peaceful, actually the border should stay closed?
I think it's not so much about which side of the border you live on, but rather which type of community you live on, on either side of the border, right? So if the larger community is on the U.S. side, you would get more of those sentiment on the Canadian side and vice versa. So I think it depends on what people who moved in those areas were looking for and the size of the population in those areas as well.
Interesting. Okay, thank you for that clarification. And this interactive map, it's I imagine it'll be available on the Border Policy Research Institute website sometime later this year? Or what does the timeline on that look like?
We're aiming for a launch this spring or early before the summer break.
Okay.
So in the coming months, if you're interested, you can either follow us through social media. So we're on Twitter as well as we have a newsletter that comes out. So we're for sure going to talk more about that project on there as well.
Fantastic. Now, speaking of projects, you've got another one on tap right now that you are you're working with Simon Fraser University in British Columbia, specifically their pandemics and borders team for I guess I should clarify first. Is this part of the same project that you've been working on, or is this a totally new topic altogether that you're working on with Simon Fraser?
No, it's a different project. So we're fortunate to partner with Simon Fraser University to conduct a cross-border study of four travel measures that were implemented during COVID-19 at the U.S.-Canada border, whether for travel by air, land, or sea. And we're focusing on equity and travel measures for that specific project. So it's a different one from the Stories from the Border project, but it tackles some themes that are similar in terms of we do have a portion of the project that looks at border communities, for example, but it looks at other communities as well. And the aim of that specific project with Simon Fraser University is also to give decision makers real data and a real understanding of what has been going on along the US-Canada border, because there's an absence in either country of a willingness to do a lessons learned from this issue. So we're trying to fill that gap and really engage with government on both sides of the border so that these stories can actually get to them. And for that, we're doing focus groups as well as a survey.
And we talked a little bit about those focus groups on our newscast over the past few days. They'll be held in person and virtually. Are there any dates and times set up for those yet? Or what are some informational bits about those focus groups that folks should know about if they want to participate?
Yeah, so focus groups will start in April. So right now we're in the phase of recruiting participants. So if folks are interested, on our Border Policy Research Institute website, we have a tab called Research, and they can find all of the information to either fill out the survey or register for the focus groups. As you said, focus groups will be held both virtually as well as in person, and we will be conducting in-person focus groups in Point Roberts, Blaine, Abbotsford, and Vancouver at the end of April. So if folks are interested, registration is now open, and it's just a short form to make sure that we take into consideration their availability and preferences. So it takes about 2 minutes, and then we'll be in contact with them to schedule the date for the focus group.
Awesome. Now, in order to qualify to be a part of these focus groups, I know here that you have to be at least 18 years or older in order to be part of them, either in person or virtually. But are there any other sort of requirements that folks need other than maybe their where they were located during the pandemic, or what rationale are you folks looking for?
Yeah, so we're looking for individuals who lived in either the U.S. or Canada during the pandemic. And we define the pandemic in line with when the first measure was implemented in March 2020 and when the last measure was lifted in May of 2023. So if you've lived in either country during that period and you are 18 or older, you qualify for the focus group discussion. And we're also looking specifically for folks who have wanted to travel or were able to travel during that period. So for example, if you've lived in Point Roberts and were wanting to cross the border in Canada, then you would qualify even if you were not able to travel.
I feel like a lot of the focus discussions that are going to come out of the Point Roberts area especially is going to be crucial to some of the research. Point Roberts is a very, it's an interesting part. It's a unique piece of the border communities that it's not really an issue that we see elsewhere throughout the country. What do you think those that feedback in the focus groups that you get might contribute to the overall research that you're doing for this latest project?
I think it'll be especially important and interesting to engage with folks in Point Roberts. And we've been lucky at the Border Policy Research Institute in the past to have great support from community members to engage with the community there, to understand their experiences of border restrictions and border mechanism more generally. And I think it'll be especially important because Point Roberts is one of three communities that were at one point in the pandemic exempted from certain measures. So what we learned from Point Roberts can also inform decision making for those other communities that are in similar situation where they are isolated from the country of which they are part of. So I think it'll be especially important to engage with folks in that region as well as the rest of the US-Canada border, because there are some experiences that are very local and must be heard, but there's also experiences that may happen in different parts of the border, but could be connected in some ways. And it's important for decision makers to understand all of those specificities of the border.
Absolutely agreed. Now, following the conclusion of these focus groups and maybe this project as a whole, what do you hope that folks who look at this project at the end of the day, what do you want them to take away from it when it comes to making decisions regarding future pandemics or travel restrictions further on down the line?
Yes, that's a good question. And the aim of this project is really to inform decision makers on both sides of the border. And as I said, fill that gap of like, there's no lessons learned that are being conducted by either government to our knowledge at the moment. So I think it's especially important to share those experiences with policy community. And we're hoping to have different ways to communicate the results that will both serve community-based organization, government official, and academia so that we can create bridges between those experiences, decision-making, and studies to engage more and to create areas that will help in future situation if the border were to be closed again, or if there were discussion of closing the border, that it can be done in a manner that takes into consideration these past experiences.
Got it. You had made a point earlier in our conversation about how neither government is really ready to take a look back and review all what we've done and how we could do better at this point and whatnot. And I think I might have asked you this in our previous conversation back in the fall, but how do you think, and if you don't know the answer, this is totally fine, but do you think either government is at a point now that they've kind of wrapped things up appropriately, aside from we haven't looked back and done all this quite yet, but have they responded and taken appropriate measures at this point, or is that something that's not really your jurisdiction?
I can say, because I'm not within government, but what I'll say is that in academia, we have the gift of time where we can conduct research that's are more of over a year, over 2 years, whereas government moves quickly and maybe they sometimes don't have the time or resources to do these. Look back into those measures, and that's where we come in and we can conduct those research and make sure that we share the results with government officials and kind of bridge that gap that may exist.
Got it. And in regards to this project, going back to that, working with the folks over at Simon Fraser University, their Pandemics and Borders team, that's not a name for a team you hear all very often. What's your experience been like working with the folks there?
It's been very great to work with folks at Simon Fraser University, and I think bringing together both of our expertise. So there are folks that work more in public health, whereas we work more in political science and geography. So to have this interdisciplinary area as well has been great to create those the survey as well as the focus group discussions, and to make sure that we encompass different aspects so that we can make sure that those recommendations and those results that will go back to decision makers can be used both for public health departments, as well as for international relations, like global affairs and the Department of State, and not just focusing on one aspect, but really encompassing everything. So it's been a very great experience to work with our colleagues at Simon Fraser.
That's fantastic. I'm imagining they'll be heading up some of the focus groups, rather, that'll be happening on the Canadian side of the border. But for folks who want to participate really on either side, the in-person focus groups, once again, will be held in Blaine, Point Roberts, Abbotsford, and Vancouver sometime at the end of April. Andy, quick question. If folks want to sign up for these focus groups, have an interest, they're eligible, they want to learn more, where should they go?
They can go on bpri.www.edu, so the BPRI website, and there's a tab called Research, and in there they're going to find the link to participate in the focus group. They can sign up, and if they have any question, they can email me. My email is on there as well, and I'll be happy to provide any additional information that they may want.
Fabulous. And is there a deadline to apply for these groups, or is it kind of just open till the day of?
It'll be open until the day of or until the groups are filled out. So I would apply sooner rather than later if you are interested, or follow our Twitter account where we will update folks as we progress in terms of focus groups.
Fantastic. Andy Bissonnette is a postdoctoral fellow with the Border Policy Research Institute at Western Washington University. Andy, thank you so much for joining us again and explaining more of your research in depth. Best of luck with your next endeavor.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.